And a good afternoon from Flowery Branch. It's once again time for FalconCast here at Atlanta Falcons headquarters in Flowery Branch. John Michaels, DJ Shockley, Brian Bosek will all be with you today. Jay Adams, as we have been doing, it's kind of a rotating cast here the last few weeks, guys. We're all on vacation. It's summertime.
Everybody needs a vacation. Everybody needs a little time away, and Jay is no exemption. He needs it, so I'm sure next week Bosek's going to be out because he's going to have vacation, so we probably won't even have it next week.
I was going to say, here's the problem. If Bosek's out, none of the rest of us are going to set up all the equipment. We'll be doing it from our phone.
Second week of July, you guys might be in trouble then.
Okay. There we go. Yes.
You know what's good, though? Second week of July is right before training camp. I think we all need
everybody needs it.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll need the mental break. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Falcons on Wednesday held another one of those film sessions for the media, which I think is flat out a genius idea by an organization. How many teams around the league do you know say, hey, we're going to let you go inside for a second and have a film session with coaches, get a chance to do Q&A. Now, it's fairly private. As a matter of fact, it's really private. It's not like, you know, Joe Q Public can walk in here and do it. You had to be a member of the media to show up. But, Shock, you got a chance to sit in there in the most generic way fashion. What are some of the things that people were talking about and everything else when it comes to the Falcons offense?
It's really so interesting as a guy who's played this game, who's been in so many different offenses, and for people to understand what goes on. The offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, gets up in front of the whole entire media, and he explains basically how they run their offense, things that maybe, you know, you as a common person would want to ask him. And he puts it all out. He showed probably about 30, 35 clips of their offense and type of things that they're doing. As we all know, which is common knowledge, is, you know, he asks, you know, if our scheme was a certain way, what kind of offensive scheme would we have? And it would be, you know, the outside zone, which we already know. And he explained in kind of detail what they're trying to do offensively with the outside zone, what they're trying to do the inside zone, setting up certain things as every offensive coordinator does throughout a game. And, you know, he spoke on some things as far as trying to find ways to get the playmakers of football.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, every offense tries to do. That's common knowledge. There's a lot of things that he said defenses are very smart. Mm-hmm. And he says you can come into a game and have a set game plan, but teams are going to change. Things are going to change from one quarter to the next, and you have to be able to adjust. So he kind of went through some plays that were good. He went through some plays that didn't work out, and he showed exactly why things didn't work out. But he did a great job of explaining exactly offensively what they're trying to do and what they want to set up on each individual play. And he kind of spotlighted guys on their offense and said, okay, this is where – our guard, Chester, can have a good job of getting up to the linebacker. Stuff that you can see while watching the tape. Here's why we want to run this outside zone to try to do this versus this type of defense, these type of linebackers. There were a couple clips on there from the Carolina game, and he talked about they had the longest run against Carolina for 2 years against their defense because of some of the things that they're trying to do. And he can say you can tell watching – our offense, what defenses do when they watch the film on the Falcons and the things that they're trying to take away from this offense. So it was pretty interesting to watch. For me, it was kind of repetitive knowledge. I've heard this talk. I heard the spiel. The terminology of it was kind of similar for me. And I kind of asked Bosek, you know, when we were done, I was like, you know, what did you think of it? Did you like it? And the way Kyle explained it, it made it seem like it was a lot going on, which it was if you haven't been in a meeting room, you know, if you haven't been a part of an offensive scheme where that's all you do.
Were there media members, and I don't want to get too in-depth, were there any media members that looked like their head was about to explode with all the terminology?
Yeah, there were a couple guys I looked around, and you know how you're looking and your mouth is open and you aren't blinking? You had a couple guys in there looking like that, and you have some guys asking questions. Your boy Zeno asked a couple of questions in there. He was, you know, like one of those guys who was like, okay, but what about it, this, and that? And, you know, he was kind of really curious to know what happened. So it was interesting to see and hear Kyle talk about it then, see the reactions of everybody in the audience who haven't really heard or seen this type of terminology or lingo.
Yeah, that was exactly how it felt for me. I've never heard any of it. To me, it was just like a bunch of light bulbs were going off in my head. Oh, that's why you're doing that. It makes so much sense. So I never played football. If you've seen me, I cannot play. I'm too skinny. I played, you know, pickup football, but I've never been in a meeting room. So to me, I was like, man, this is all very complicated stuff. I can never understand all of this. So I go to Shock. So did you take anything away from that? He's like, no, not really. So to Shaq, it was like Pee-wee stuff. But to me, it was like All-Star stuff. So very interesting.
A lot of other – there's a couple interesting things that he talked about. And he actually showed, okay, here's a formation. Here's a play that we look at early in the game that we're thinking about setting up for later in the game. And he shows the kind of thought process he goes through in a game to show exactly, okay, this is what they did when we got in this formation on this down and we ran it this way. And we saw their safety come down. Nobody, you know, took Matt Ryan on the keeper or whatever it was. So he comes back and he shows maybe a quarter later the exact same formation. The defense is in the exact same front and they run it the other way and bam, you got a good gain on it. So it shows the process that he goes through in a game. It shows exactly how the players have to make decisions in sudden moments to be able to know, okay, I got to hit this hole. Mm-hmm. It looks like Devontae Freeman does, you know, he's just running and he makes a cut. But there's so many things that he's looking at on each and every run. The simple run, it's like he's just running outside zone. It looks like he's simple. He's supposed to go outside and then get up for you and go north. There's so many things, there's so many keys that he has to look at on each and every run that just makes it a little bit more special than you may think.
You're a guy that obviously played in the league, played at a high level, winning an SEC championship at the University of Georgia and all of that stuff. When you look at that offense from a player perspective, a guy that obviously you haven't played under Kyle Shanahan, but yeah, just to get a chance, he's been much maligned. Let's be honest. He was much maligned for last year after 5-0, all of a sudden people got on the offensive coordinator. There were a lot of talk in the offseason about the offensive coordinator. There's
Dude,
been talk.
It's so funny that you say that because the first thing that he mentioned when he first got the talk was, okay, here's a chance for you guys to really know me and know, you know, because I know you guys have been talking about it. So it's funny you bring that up because the first thing he mentioned was, all right, I know you guys have been talking about me in this offense, so here's a way I want to – because it was kind of a way of him to show the media that, hey, I do know a little bit of what I'm talking about. Right. He didn't say it to that effect, but it was kind of that same aura.
My point to that is that there had been late talk after the season was over that the offense was confusing and that there were a lot of different options on every single play. A receiver's got, you know, and normally there's a route tree that you go off of anyway, but a receiver might have an option to run a 10-yard curl and a 7-yard curl. And obviously a 10 and a 7 makes a huge difference as to when Matt's going to release the ball. As a guy from the outside going in there watching film study, did you think that the offense would be confusing?
You know what? There were plays, especially once they got into the pass game, that things got a little wordy. But there were some times where the words weren't as wordy, and sometimes that goes into a guy not being able to play fast because he's trying to comprehend everything that's said out the huddle. So it comes in the huddle, he says it fast, and you got to run to the line of scrimmage. And within 5-10 seconds, you got to realize, okay, is there motion with this play? Is this guy playing off or bump? Is this guy they playing too high, one high? Do my route changes because of too high to one high? There are some things in his offense that you do have to know depending on coverage, depending on how the guy in front of you is playing, whether your route changes. As the quarterback, you look at everything and you can understand that, and you need that because defenses are so, so good these days. They can change. They can move. There are a lot of things that go on pre-snap as opposed to post-snap. He actually – one thing that I was telling Bosek about was he talked about the first part of the plays. Mm-hmm. And if you look at when you're reading at the top of the screen, the play has to play at the top of the screen. And then there was the second part of the play that we call an audible as far as, okay, they give us this and then they audible to something else. He didn't even get into that part of it because that's going to wrangle your brain so even more. So there were times where they were running outside zone, but if say they had it too many guys to that side, the numbers weren't right, then you audible and go the other way with it. And that's part of the game that I think a lot of players probably get confused with a little bit because you have to worry about, okay, I have this one play, but what if he changes it within a spur of a second, within 2 seconds? We're running the opposite play.
Right.
But there was also some good dialogue in there where he talked about he highlighted Julio and teams trying to do certain things towards Julio. And he said, okay, look, they're taking all this away. There's a safety. He showed 3-4 clips where there was a safety over Julio. There was a linebacker. There was a corner. And then he said, okay, they got that cover. We got to go backside. And he showed plays where, okay, you see Hangerson coming back underneath on the backside route. You see somebody else. You see Hardy coming back on the backside. He showed there were scenarios where guys had to be aware, and it looks like Julio's getting 90% of the passes, but they had to be aware just in case they double or triple cover Julio, you got to win on your backside route. And he said there were times where the other receivers were in what's called cover zero, man-to-man coverage, because they had so many guys on Julio. Mm-hmm. So we need those guys to win. So if it looks like some guys aren't getting the ball, maybe they weren't winning on those particular routes, and that's why it seemed like, okay, he's just looking at Julio.
Here's one of the things I wanted to talk about with that. Do you think, and you guys were both in there, and you both can answer this, that Kyle Shanahan won some people over by doing this? Because our media, for the people that are listening online or listening on iTunes and subscribe to FalconCast, I do a local radio show here from 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, Falcons flagship station. But there are times on our airwaves that it becomes blame Kyle, yeah. blame Kyle, blame right. Kyle, then blame Matt.
Right.
Do you think he won some people over sitting down, taking a half hour, an hour out of his day to teach everybody?
Well, Sega, I'll let you start because for me, it was knowledge that I already knew. So I knew exactly coming in what to kind of expect. And it was just good to hear from his terminology. But I'd love to hear what you, you know, thought of it.
To me, I think so, because now the media sees what he's trying to do, what he's trying to accomplish here with the Falcons. You were able to put, I don't know, some background knowledge behind, so now when the media is watching on the field, they'll be able to understand, and when they're talking with Kyle after the game, they'll be able to talk to, well, they don't talk to him after the game, but when they talk to him during the week, they'll be able to ask him about the game, and now they'll have some reasoning to why he did that, and he'll be able to reference back to, remember when I talked to you about this in the meeting room? This is what we were trying to do here. It worked or it didn't work. So I think maybe not everyone, because there's some pessimists who see it half empty. But
yeah, if you ever watch a game or you're at the Falcons game and you see where Kyle Shanahan is on the field.
Yep.
He talked about him being at the total opposite end of the field because it allows him to see everything. Mm-hmm. So he knows exactly what to call, when to call it, and what they're trying to do versus certain formations. And he tried to give us, the media, some knowledge on, okay, this is kind of why I do certain things. This is the type of plays I like to call. This is why early in the game, I try to set this up to give us an advantage so that later on we can come back and we can do this. So I think he wants some people over. And like Bosa said, there's going to be some people who still feel like, oh, he didn't give us enough, or I still think he can do more. That's always going to be there. But I think he did a good job of trying to explain his offense to a lot of people. And like myself, Hugh Douglas was in there, Arch was in there, Brian Finneran, guys who've been around the game, we kind of had the same kind of feeling, like, okay, we knew exactly what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think me and Hugh were talking about it, and he was saying he wanted to hear more about protections. He wanted to hear more about what they're trying to do in the play-action game. So there's some things that, you know, some guys that want to hear or see more because, you know, they've been around the game, and some people were really impressed. I heard some people say, wow, I was just blown away by it. That was great to hear.
It's going to be an interesting thing. I think when you look at this football team this upcoming year, they made the incremental jump, and I was doing a breakdown earlier this week. They go to 16th yardage. They were 14th in points against. To get into the top 10, you're talking about a difference in like 10 yards a game.
Right.
That's one stop, or maybe that's picking up an extra first down in the first half on the offensive side of the ball. To get into the top 10 scoring, I think they had to shave off like a point and a half.
Wow.
Okay, so again, maybe you stop a first down, they're out of field goal range, they don't do that 4 or 5 games a year, and suddenly you're in the top 10. So they're right on the cusp of being really good on the defensive side. But I think the difference for this team this year is going to be, to whether they make the playoffs or not, is going to be simply on the offensive side. The first 5 weeks of last year, they were a machine.
Yeah.
Scoring in the red zone. Devontae had like 8 rushing touchdowns in the first 5-6 weeks of the season. Then suddenly things go sideways. You start turning it over. The protection's not the same. You're not unable to run the ball in the red zone. They throw an extra, you know, I don't know, 5 touchdowns for the year on the board. This team's 11-5 a year ago, and they're 11-5 again this
year. You know what? When I think about that, I think about what they're trying to do in the trenches. And I look at this team trying to get better. We know at skill position-wise, this team is at the top with a lot of different teams in the league. They can play with anybody. They got some really good skill guys. But also you look at right now, they have 16 offensive linemen that are becoming a camp. We talked about how many linebackers they had a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We said it's double-digit linebackers. You got double-digit guys in the trenches. I mean, they're trying to secure everything up front because they know that's where it all starts. You got to get that type of balance, that type of guys who really want to push people around up front to be good on the outside. You got to protect Matt. You also got to stop the run. You got to get pressure. And I think they're trying to do a good job of that. And I know a lot of people want the big names. They want the guys who can come in here and get 10, 11 sacks. But I think they want to build it from within and have five or six guys with seven or eight sacks. And I think that builds up a little bit better for you.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the sack numbers. I looked at the totals, and 19 is obviously worst in the league, and it's not even close. Even if you double that and get to 38, which Falcon fans, I think we all would be like, 38 sacks.
Still middle of the road, ain't it?
It's not even middle of the road. It's like bottom third. I think it gets you to like 20.
Wow.
And Denver had like 58. Yeah, 58 or something like that. But where I was looking at that, 2 years ago, the Buffalo Bills, and Jay's not here to defend his Bills, led the league or were second in sacks. They had like 55.
Wow.
To last year, they fall down to, I believe they were second to last. They had like 22.
Wow.
So a one-year turnaround either way can happen. A sack shock, as well as you know, having played quarterback in this league and in college, you can get rid of the ball and literally the second, like the millisecond the ball is released out of your hand, get plowed right in the chest. That's how close it is from being a sack to not being a sack.
Very true, and that happens a lot of the time. Guys, quarterbacks know it. They just want to get rid of the ball. I remember we had offensive line coaches that – simply said, just throw the ball away. You know, if it's not there, you don't like it, your first or second reason out there, throw it away because they don't want the sack total to go on their offensive line. So a lot of quarterbacks are taught, if it's not there, just throw it away. If you don't have it, how many times have we seen quarterbacks get intentional grounding because they don't want to get that sack?
Right.
They don't want to get that on their, you know, on their offensive lineman, or they don't want to lose yards or whatever it is. They try to get rid of it. So like you mentioned, that's a great call on guys try to get rid of the football just so they don't have sacks, and you're so close to that. We know Vic Beasley had at least three or four of those towards the end of the year where he was a millisecond away from getting a sack, and the guy gets rid of it, or he, you know, just gets there a snap late. So it happens. It's a part of the game. I think they definitely will improve on that this year. They have to. It's just one of those things that you come in and say, all right, this is a point of emphasis for us on defense. Point of emphasis on offense, take care of the football, score in the red zone. Defense, get after the quarterback, take it away. It's a simple game, but you got to do it.
Our point of emphasis this week as we do our player spotlight, a guy on the defensive side of the ball, Sean Weatherspoon, being brought back, gone from the Falcons, played for the Cardinals a year ago after dealing with an Achilles injury in the offseason. It had to be, what, about 17 months ago now that he tore his Achilles here, let loose, goes to the Cardinals, you know, doesn't have much of an impact there, does play in 14 games last year for Arizona. Brought back, and some people think he's being brought back to be a starter. Other people think he's being brought back just to come in and, you know, A, be a veteran leader on the linebacker core. Shock, I look at you, and what do you think Spoon has left in the tank, and what does he bring to this team?
I think Spoon brings a lot. I think he's coming back with the mindset of, this is a second opportunity for me. In a place where these guys believed in me. This is a place that I got drafted to. This is a place that they thought enough of me to bring me back. And now here's an opportunity for me to give back to the organization. I think he has plenty left in the tank. I actually saw him today when I was coming into the building and talked to him for a second, and you can see he was excited. And he's been here for a while already. He just talked about being excited to be here. He talked about the environment. He loves Coach Quinn. He loves what they're trying to do defensively. And he said he feels just lighter. He feels more energetic. And he said he can't wait to get back in the dome and put the birds back on and have a good chance to be a huge contributor to this team. So he's excited to be back. I hope and pray he stays healthy. I hope that everything works out. Because Spoon is one of the more liked guys, not just on his team, but in this state, at least I know.
You said it right there. His energy was infectious when he played for this football team. I mean, I look back at the NFC Championship game, and Spoon would come up with a play and pull out the utensils, as Wes Durham loves to say, and cook up something, or, you know, have the spoon out, whatever. He was also a guy that even when he was hurt, you know, a lot of times a player will get hurt and they'll go, I'm in the locker room or I'm home.
Yeah,
I'm not coming to the stadium, because you see that. Guys will stay home. They're Spoon was out there, cast, crutches, didn't matter, teaching, screaming, yelling, being everything that you needed to be as far as a good teammate. And I think that's something that, you know, wasn't necessarily missing last year, but, boy, you could use an emotional leader on the defensive side of the ball, whether he's a starter, a special teams guy, or just on the team. Spoon's one of those guys you love to see back.
You need that edge. You need a guy on your, especially defensively, who can bring that energy, who can bring that effort, who week in and week out, you know, this guy's going to bring what Coach Quinn and him talk about all the time is bring the juice. And you know he is that type of player. He's that type of guy who you know is going to bring it every week. And you think him coming back on his second stint, he's going to have even more.
Right.
Because like I mentioned, he's got more to prove, and he wants to give it all he has.
It's amazing when you think about bringing him back and you look at the amount of linebackers on this team. There's no guarantees for anybody.
No doubt.
Brooks Reed back in better shape. Vic Beasley moving to the strong side. Phillip Wheeler's back. I mean, the fact they didn't even re-sign a guy like O'Brien Schofield, who I thought had an opportunity to play here. Spoon's going to have to come in and work. But I think if he's healthy, Spoon's going to be out there.
Yeah, he is. See, he's one of the more athletic guys, like a Phillip Wheeler, who they like on his defense. They want guys who can not only run east and west, but also can cover. So you look for those type of players.
Can I make a request?
What's that?
That Spoon's in the Turkey Bowl again this year? Because that's the type of character we need out there. We need a Spoon out there talking trash.
I like that. I'm with that, too.
All right, I'll put that request in.
All right, we'll get Spoon out there.
Spoon for the Turkey Bowl.
Now, do we have a break with Bosek this week? Got to come up with something on the fly.
Yeah, we got one.
Okay.
All right, everyone's always asking, if you had a superpower, what would you be? What would you want it to be?
All right.
Going to take it a little 180. If you could give everybody in the world one superpower, everyone would have the same superpower, what would you want it to be?
Ooh. Mine's simple. I want everybody to fly.
Fly.
Because traffic
fly everywhere.
Stunk that would this be, morning. Yeah, if everybody could fly and get – A, we wouldn't have to pay for cars. That's about $700 a month that we'd have to pay with insurance and everything else.
True.
And we wouldn't have to deal with traffic.
I like
be
that.
Like birds. You just get up. Hey, I got to go downtown. I'll be there in like 5 minutes.
Peace out.
And be there.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Fly. How about be able to move at the speed of light? Just be able to move fast. It's kind of similar
you
to your
flash.
Flying to be able to just get to where you need to be, man. Sometimes, you know.
So you just want
to
be Dwayne Wade.
It takes time, you know. Yeah, be flash. Let me be flash, man.
Be flash.
I don't know. Walk through invisible doors and stuff. Crazy talk. What about you, Bo?
Mine's a little different. It'd be a lie detector. Everyone would know when someone's lying.
Oh. See, you they made a movie much? About it. Have you ever seen
that'd
the Jim Carrey movie,
bad.
Liar, Liar?
Oh, yeah.
We don't need that.
Uh-uh. That would be interesting.
My business would be over with.
There would be war. There would be war.
There have to be, right?
People would be fighting. I mean, if you couldn't lie and you had to tell the truth about everything, like whatever somebody asked you, you had to tell the truth about. So, John, you standing here with your fiance and the girl who everybody talks about with Steph Curry getting in trouble, and she walks by and your wife says, hey, does she look good to you?
See, I have an open enough relationship where I can tell her, yeah, she looks good. Now, she said, did you do anything with her? Divorce attorneys would love your superpower.
They'd be in business big time.
Oh, yeah. It would shake things up a lot.
Yeah. It's been an abbreviated version of Falcon Cast. We have all three of us have busy schedules, had a lot to do, but we wanted to bring you everything about the stuff with Kyle Shanahan. Great insight from DJ. Jay will be back next week, allegedly. I'll be a little bit less tan, as I'll now be 2 weeks removed from vacation, and we're getting closer to training camp. Just right around the corner. What do we got, about a month and some change before training camp
end of
opens?
July, right? Yeah.
We tell all of you that are in town, if you get a chance, many of the days training camp is free. Come out here. All kinds of great interactive stuff. Come watch practice. Come learn about the game. Usually DJ's out here. I'm out here. Brian's out here. He's working hard. He's got a camera and everything else. Come talk to us. We'll have a good time. Appreciate you guys listening.
And next week, Tuesday through Thursday, we got minicamp. So
nice.
You can make it out there. Yeah. Go to minicamp.
Come on out to minicamp. Yeah,
bring
absolutely.
The kids.
All right.
What time, Bosek?
I'm not sure. You might have to go to AtlantaFalcons.com.
Okay,
find the times.
Well,
thanks.
You're right. Sorry about that, Bo. Put you on the spot.
Check us out on iTunes, Falcon Cast. Make sure you subscribe there. A little bit longer Falcon Cast next week, but we appreciate you guys listening.
Holla.